Good morning, Gateway Church of Brooklyn. Good morning. Oh, okay. Making sure you're there. That's good. Well, as always, I thank you, Pastor Tony, for this opportunity to be with you and share the word. We do it Sunday in and Sunday out in Spanish, but today is in English. So, and as I always ask, bear with me, as English is my second language. If you hear a word you've never heard before, it's probably because it doesn't exist, and I just made it up. So just bear with me, and I'll do the best I can. And of course, foremost, with the Holy Spirit guiding me, that which is the most important thing. So let's look for our Bibles in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be reading verses 31 to 33. I know some of you have the ESV. I will be reading off of the New American Standard Bible. It's a couple differences, not much, but it's still the Word of God. Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. Now, in Spanish, we have a custom that when the people have found the Word, we ask them, for all those who found the Word, say amen. So if you found the Word, say amen, please. Amen. That's confirming to me that there we're going to read together. So this is the word of the Lord, starting in verse 31. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour." The ESV says three measures of flour until it was all leavened. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning just asking for your grace towards me first, who will be speaking, and then grace towards those that are hearing your word this morning, God, that you may open the hearts and the minds of this church to receive your word. And God, and if there is something, God, that is not yours, that you may make deaf ears, God, to whatever does not pertain to your word, God. So bless me this morning. Bless your congregation. And we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let me start by telling you that there is a worldview called open theism. Now, let me define what open theism is. This is what the Glossary of Theology has to say concerning this. It says, open theism is a view on the nature of God that rejects classical attributes like omniscience or immutability in favor of positing a God who learns, adapts, takes risk, and modifies his plans in response to human actions. In this view, God's foreknowledge is limited by the uncertainties inherent in creating humanity with truly free will, where even he does not know what free human agents will choose to do. So basically, in our own terms, open theism is saying that God is somewhere in Hawaii taking a long vacation until the world decides to do whatever it wants to do, so that the world can run its course by itself. Or perhaps even God is somewhere in Florida just recollecting some seashells, like John Piper likes to put it also. So open theism is saying, God doesn't know what's going to happen. He's not in control of everything. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus in this text is talking to the multitude and by implication to us, on how the kingdom of God grows, which is our topic this morning. How does the kingdom grow? Let me ask you this. Has God made all of creation to run its course by its own? Has God given a mind and a conscience to the earth? Do the mountains grow by their own doing? Which is an answer, of course not. We know God is at work in the world today since the beginning of creation. He is in control of all things. And it is the same way with the kingdom of heaven. God is the king, and he is reigning, and he is working in all of life. So we have this question that we will try to answer this morning on how does then the kingdom grow? Well, there's going to be two elements I will be discussing today. One of them will be my first point. God works through time. God works through time. Let me read those passages really quick, just as a reference so we could continue this exposition. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." We know, and I'm sure Pastor defined what a parable was, if not last week, a couple weeks ago, and where Jesus is sharing these parables to show a wider application or a spiritual truth. He's trying to teach a spiritual truth to the people. And it's interesting how he uses a mustard seed to start describing the kingdom of heaven. If you haven't seen a mustard seed before, which I don't remember seeing one like in my hand, but I've seen many pictures, it is so small that if you drop it to the floor, you might lose it. It's that small. As I was reviewing my sermon, I was eating gummy bears, and it was, you know, it was night. I had the light on, and I dropped one, and I'm like, man, this is so good application for today. Man, I was looking for that gummy bear like for a minute. I'm like, where is it? And it's, you know, the mustard seed is even smaller than a gummy bear. So here Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God, has started very small. Though God is a God of heaven and earth, he started his kingdom with a small people. And I'm sure you've heard of these people. A people called the nation of Israel. From all the peoples of the earth, he chooses this tiny piece of land. He chooses, actually, these people, when they were chosen, they didn't even have a land. Right? And as time has progressed, the church, which is composed of every people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, have become part of these promises given to these special people called Israel. So, the mustard seed, when it's sown, it takes approximately 10 days to come out of the ground. And it takes approximately 80 days to start producing new mustard seeds. You see the time frame in this? Let me specify that Jesus does not want us to see the exact timeline of the mustard seed as a comparison to the kingdom of God to grow. Here Jesus is wanting to explain that the kingdom of God has been growing through a continued progression in time. When we go back to Genesis, we see that God said, "Let there be heavens and earth," and poof, they were done one day. But we see the kingdom of God expanding bit by bit through time. Another thing is that God is not affected by time. We are affected by time. And God is teaching us that growth occurs in his timing. Just as a mustard seed takes time to bear fruit and become bigger than the other trees, it is a time frame. Let me ask you also this question. Does the mustard seed grow by itself? Does it feed itself? Does it water itself? Does it have hands that come out of it and starts watering itself? I don't think so. Well, that's the same way God produces water, or the same way God produces water and sunlight and the right temperature for the mustard seed to grow. It is the same way how God is working throughout his kingdom. God is not out of our universe. Actually, he could come in time and get out of time as he pleases, because he's an infinite God. God is not sitting waiting for his kingdom to grow while he is having a good time in the beach. I'm sorry. God has not taken vacations. The kingdom of God will grow because God is at work. God is working to make his kingdom grow. Just like God has revealed his nature, his attributes to Israel and the church throughout history, God is saving his people throughout history. And let me tell you something, history is occurring in real time right now. But you may ask me, you know what, Pastor? I've shared the gospel with so-and-so for how long, and this person doesn't seem to respond. Exactly. Exactly my point. Ask yourself this. How much time did the person that led you to Christ had to wait? How much time did they have to wait? Did they even see the fruits of their sowing? Oh, Pastor, it's taken so long for Gateway to have 200 or 300 people. I'm just getting tired of it, just seeing a few of us. Really? That may be the growth you're expecting, but is it the growth that God is expecting? Hear me out what I want to say right now. Kingdom growth is not necessarily numerical growth, but it is healthy growth. And that's what we're talking about. Sometimes we plant something and we want to add this whole bunch of things to it so we could grow faster. Sometimes we take that same philosophy and try to implement it in church. We would like to add a lot of programs to the church so we can have more people. You know, so people could feel they're hanging out in a comfortable place. They're coming and chilling out. Sometimes we would like to add a couple of secular tools in church. So, you know, so the youth say, oh man, that church is cool. That church is awesome. That's, man, they got it all covered. Sure, we could probably do that. We could add a couple programs here and there. But is that the way God wants to grow his kingdom? The man from verse 31, which is a text that we just read, sowed the seed and let God do the rest. He did not add anything to the seed. He did not add special fertilizers and whatever other things you add that I can't even pronounce. You know what they are. One of the things that we have problems is that we are a culture that doesn't like to wait. We are a people that do not like to wait. We despise waiting. It's inconvenient. It's anti-cultural to wait. Microwaves, fast food restaurants, drive-through ATMs, and many other things have made it difficult for us to be a people that want to wait. But the thing is that God works in his kingdom in due time. His time, not even church time for that matter, his time. He is the God of the church. And he has done it with us. And if we are in Christ, we are part of that mustard seed that is growing day by day, day by day. Even you could ask yourself, and I would definitely ask myself, have we completely flourished? Have we bared all the fruit we are supposed to? We are still growing. The kingdom of God is still growing. Gateway Church is still growing in his time. But let me show you that God is not on a beach in Hawaii drinking piña colada. Philippians 1:6. If you can't look for it, I'll read it to you. Philippians 1:6. Look at what the Apostle Paul says about the work that God does. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you. I'm sorry, who? I want to hear it. He that began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Till next week? Next month? Next year, probably? He says he will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're wondering what that day is, that'll be the day we will be with the Lord, the day of his coming. You see, this work of the kingdom is an ongoing work. He has not stopped. And even as we see the kingdom growing in time, also our spiritual lives are being perfected through time. And one day it will reach a culmination because it is an ongoing work. It is a work through time. And because God works through time and his kingdom will continue to grow, we will also see that God's work is evident in the life of the believer. My second point, God's work is evident. It is palpable. You could see it. It is growing in size. And I take this from verse 33 of our passage. And I will read it for you very briefly. He spoke then another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. I was looking this morning, and a peck of flour is a kind of measurement. It's almost an equivalent like to 8 quarts. So that's a measurement they used to use back then. Many think about this passage, that when describing the leaven, what it actually means, it's describing yeast. But what it really means is that this leaven is a piece of dough that had yeast in it already. So it is a piece of dough. Look at what theologian Leon Morris has to say about this. Found it very interesting. The leaven was but a small amount, but in time, it changed the large quantity of flour. Like the previous parable, this one brings out the contrast and continuity between the small beginnings of the kingdom and its great consummation. Let me ask you this. Have you, and I'm sure you have, but have you ever seen bread without yeast? I'm sure you have. It almost looks like a tortilla, right? It's very flat. When you see that piece of bread, you are positive it has not been leavened. You are sure of this because you know what ordinary bread looks like. You've tasted it. It's big. It's fluffy. And it's delicious. Come on, you know what your bread is. Come on, people. Look at this guy right here. He knows what bread is. Come on. You know, it's a fully carb diet for me. So how do we know the kingdom of heaven is growing? Because the work of God in his kingdom is evident. The same way the mustard seed grows over time, the same way the 3 measures of flour grow, because it's evident. You could see it. And the kingdom of God, you could see how God is at work with his people and through his people. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that the gospel of the kingdom should affect your whole life. Your whole life. If that leaven touches that flour, there is no way the whole batch will not be affected. If it's in there, it's being leavened. You make sure of that. It is the same way when God works through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ changes us to his kingdom people. Yeah, there's no way that if you said the gospel is at work at me, we're going to see it or we're not going to see it. I think it was last week we touched on the different soils. Was it last week, I think? There's going to be good soil, 30, 60, 100% perhaps. Let's even say 15, 5%. But you know, we will see it. We will see the gospel at work. So what does this mean by application? Well, that means that your neighbors will know you are part of the kingdom. That means that your co-workers will know you are part of the kingdom. That means that you will treat people differently, just as Christ has shown us when he walked on this earth. Why, you say? Because this is the evidence of being in the kingdom. The way you live here and now reveals the work God is doing for his kingdom people. The gospel, brothers and sisters, affects our whole lives if it has been sown or hidden in our hearts. That's why we shouldn't be hiding as Christians. Oh, there goes my neighbor. I don't want him to know that I'm one of those Jesus guys or Jesus people. Remember Jesus freak? They call me a Jesus freak. We shouldn't be denying God in front of others, even in the face of persecution, though it's hard. Why not? Because the work of God is evident. Let me tell you that if you're leavened, you will grow. If the gospel is at work in you, you will grow. You may also ask me, how do I know if this work of God is being produced in me? How do I know this? By the way, I like asking a lot of questions of you, if you noticed. It's a way to put every one of us to think. We should ask ourselves, am I growing? Do other people see the work of grace in my life? Are you loving what God loves? Are you hating what God hates? That's a good way of knowing in ourselves, are we really following God? Are we really part of this kingdom? Is God at work in me? You know, when you or your wife or whoever, man or woman, if you've baked bread before, you know, it's there, it's starting to cook and everything, the heat gets up and you turn on the light of your oven and you stick around for a few minutes to see, right, the cooking happen. What happens once those couple minutes, you know, that heat starts doing its work, that yeast starts doing its work? It starts growing. You could actually see it. Now you're going to have to stick around for a little bit to actually see it, but it will start to grow. Because that is the effect the heat and the yeast has on the bread. It starts growing second by second, minute by minute, and you could actually see the growth take place. Brothers and sisters, that is the same way the kingdom of God grows. It is the work of God in the believer's life. When God starts working in your life, brothers and sisters, it may take time for you to notice. But as seconds, minutes, hours, and days pass, you will be growing. People will start taking notice of the change because the growth in Christ has to become evident. And that's actually the Christian life. In the Christian life, you have started to grow in God's grace and work. And when Christ returns, he will finish this growth in us. He will consummate this kingdom. Now let me clarify this. In these passages, that we're seeing the sovereignty of God in making his kingdom grow. That's what we're seeing. But let me tell you that is never an excuse for us as the people of God to be stagnant. Never. Word of God always has a great balance on God's sovereignty and human responsibility. But the premise of all of this is that we see God's glory through his grace working within us. This is what he is doing. God's grace, when it is at work, just like that leaven is coming up, just like that bread is coming up, the same way God's grace produces in us good deeds. It produces fruit. That is the language that Scripture uses. It grows like the leaven affects all the bread. Meaning that the inner working of God through the gospel of Jesus in us makes us work as the evidence of God's work in our lives. So basically, because God works, we work. No excuse. Not preaching salvation by works, preaching salvation by grace. And as evidence, we see that inner working of God in our lives. And because he is at work in our lives, I think John 15 states it very clearly. Jesus Christ shares with us this. John 15, 1 through 6. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, and so on, and so on, and so on. You cannot produce fruit without the vine, but you have to abide in the vine. Receive God's sovereignty and human responsibility. And another thing is that because he has said that the kingdom will grow, this is a promise of God. It will surely happen. I ask you here and this morning, are you part of God's kingdom? If you are here today and you don't know how to be part of the kingdom, let me tell you. To enter the kingdom of God, you must repent of your sins and have faith in the finished work of Jesus. What is the finished work of Jesus, say you? Well, let me tell you that in this work, he has taken the penalty of sin that belongs to you and has paid it dying on a cross. And if that weren't enough, he has purchased eternal salvation, living the perfect life of obedience that you and I cannot live. Because we have all fallen short of the glory. What does that mean? It means that there's nothing good enough that you or I can do to earn this precious salvation. Nothing at all. Like Isaiah says, your works are like filthy rags. And through the finished work of Christ, you can have a new life and be reconciled to God, having a relationship with him as his covenant family. This is how you are a part of the kingdom of God. But how about you, brother and sister in Christ, who are part of the kingdom? Yes, this is for all of us. Have you doubted your salvation? Have you doubted if you are bearing fruit? John 15 tells us, abide in Christ. Feed off the vine, for you will give much fruit. Cling to God the way you would cling and depend on a parent or a spouse or a friend when you are in desperate need. Oh, when we are in desperate need, we cling to someone. It could be our parent, that could be a best friend. Cling that way to God. That is the way we should take a hold of God. Do not live in fear. God is not far off in Hawaii waiting for you to bear fruit for yourself and by yourself. He is there helping us bear this fruit. He is your vine. He is your support. And most of all, He is the King of the kingdom. God has not started His kingdom to leave it by itself. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to do this, let me go rest all the rest of my days. It's funny because God's work is finished and it's not. It is finished, but it's not. He still is at work in us. Now, salvation is finished. It is completed, but He's still working in us. And it's through His working, it is through the work that He has started in us, that He will make us grow. Brothers and sisters, and for this, He deserves all of the honor and all of the glory. Soli Deo Gloria, to God be the glory alone. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You because Your word shows us the way. It shows us first how You work in us through Your kingdom. But it also works how we should be responsible in that work that You have given to us. Thank You for Your doing, Lord Jesus. If there's anyone here with fear that they don't know where they are at, God, I just pray for conviction of Your Holy Spirit that He who began this work will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, complete Your work how You have promised. For those who have probably professed their faith but don't know sure where they're at, God, make it evident in their lives. And if there is someone who has not yet professed their faith, God, bring the almighty of conviction of sin, God, working grace through them so that they may see Your glory through Your cross, knowing that there is nothing they can do without You. I pray all these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen.